I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council, Monday, February 9th, 2015. And this is our custom. I would like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business, the approval minutes from the January 26th meeting. Everyone have a chance to review the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, and this is the regular session. All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Brigham to approve the regular session minutes of the Mayor and Council for Monday, January 26th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let the record show that it's 4-0 vote for the Councilmember Purnell is absent. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes for Monday, January 26th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the January 26th minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is that four?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. We haven't gone through any course change training lately, so we're doing fine. That's fine, thank you. That also is 4-0. I'd like to note that the reason for the executive session on January 26th under the Maryland Article 10508A was to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Number two on our agenda is a request for a special event, spring celebration. Our year of celebration.
Exactly.
And again, we all know you all, but to introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Jim Volk, and I am the Chamber Administrator for the Chamber of Commerce.
Ivy Wells, Director of Economic Development for the Town of Berlin.
I'm here today to request authorization to have the spring celebration scheduled for Saturday the 4th, tentatively between 10 o'clock and 5 o'clock. We have submitted all of the necessary forms at this point in time. Chief Downing has the road closure forms as well, too. We're still in the formulation plans on it because we're trying to make it unique and in line with the coolest small town in America. So we might be putting a little bit of a twist on it this year that brings it up to that standard.
Your key thing is you need to have the dates secured so you can worry about everything else.
Exactly.
Okay. And this it's called Spring Celebration, but it's Berlin's way of sort of honoring a lot of different things, including Easter.
Correct.
Some portions of it, like a Easter bonnet contest and things. It's kind of like just a celebration that we're all here. We made it to another spring.
Right, and I mean, the things that we're talking about also are non-denominational, but there are some very traditional Easter activities, i.e. the Easter egg hunt, et cetera.
Well, I think, you know, this council and all previous councils, is, you know, we don't hide the fact that this is a predominantly, historically Christian community, but that we've never... want to ever even give the impression that everybody's not
right.
Wrong.
Exactly.
And you know, when it comes to celebrating Christmas,
right?
I've seen people from every faith come to Berlin and have a wonderful time. So I think that the spring celebration should definitely continue along that vein.
I'd like to ask the chief: do you have any concerns about the closures?
None whatsoever, and the State Highway has already approved the three closures.
Move to approve this request.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the special event request by the Berlin Chamber for the spring celebration on Saturday, April 4th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Best of luck and hope you have great weather.
All right, I hope so too.
The only other thing you have to take care of.
This is true. I'll work on that one.
That's under other duties aside.
Yes.
Okay. Next is item 3 on the agenda is a resolution 2014-06, amendment of growth area GA1 into the 2010 comprehensive plan for the town of Berlin.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. I'm Joseph Moore. And I'm here this evening. The Planning Commission has sent to you a favorable recommendation to amend growth area number 1 in the town to add into the growth area the property on the north side of Route 50 owned by Steve and Karen Black. As you know, some months ago I presented to you all the concept plan. We hope to locate a Royal Farm store there together with the relocated Arby's, and we would request that you all accede to the recommendation of the Planning Commission and amend the growth area in the manner in their resolution. For the record, I will say that both the Maryland Department of Planning and Ed Tudor, the Director of Development Review and Permitting in Worcester County, have expressed no concerns with regard to the amendment to the growth area. And our next goal will be to submit to you all a proposed annexation agreement because our ultimate goal is to get the property annexed within the town. The land use article of the Code of Maryland requires that you first make the determination that it's in a growth area. So that's our purpose tonight.
But when you say our purpose and our intention, who is the our?
Mr. and Mrs. Black, who are the property owners, will be petitioning the mayor and council to consider annexing the property into the town.
Okay.
What you have in front of you is what I presented to the Planning Commission. The first is your existing growth area boundary, and then I have interposed over a tax map in the second exhibit the existing growth area marked in red and the requested addition in yellow.
Just call the streets.
Yes, sir. And then the third is actually the plat of the actual property that we're asking you to put in the growth area.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Moore regarding the request?
So this wasn't originally included in the comprehensive plan from 2010 as being recognized as an area?
That's correct. And at that point in time, I think Councilperson Hall, no one at that time requested that it be in the growth area. The other areas that are in red were requested. And so we're asking you to amend that growth area.
The area that's in yellow with that, the red, is what? I don't understand.
Those are the red on Exhibit 1. I've done it in yellow, excuse me, in Exhibit 2 just to better show the configuration of the property. So if you look at the two red growth areas in the first exhibit, those are the same as the red border in Exhibit 2. And then the yellow on the north side shows how that would be extended if you all would agree with the Planning Commission to let us into the growth area.
So the property that the Arby's is on is not owned by the Black?
I beg your pardon?
That's not owned by the Black?
It is. Yes. Yeah. The property is actually bordered on the north side of U.S. Route 50 and on the west side of Friendship Road. The existing Arby's is right at the corner.
Yeah,
it's going to be relocated over to the area where you see Part B mm-hmm. on the last exhibit, and that makes room for the Royal Farms.
Yeah, I think back at the time when this conference went, people weren't even thinking about across the street because nothing had happened with the area down the road.
That's
which,
correct.
Which is now, as we know, starting to percolate and looks like it's going to be very likely a the location of one of our first.
That is correct. And the other thing, this property is already zoned commercial, so it doesn't even require rezoning consideration by you all. If when the time comes our annexation agreement is approved, we're already zoned, so the county already has a zone.
I just have one question. I remember when you proposed this before, you showed us illustration of the building. Was that the design that was approved by the planning commission?
Well, the Planning Commission won't approve the design until we're annexed. We then come to you all, or to them, for site plan approval. But it is the same configuration we intend.
Because I think that's one thing.
It was very attractive. And, Mayor, I'm looking for it.
No, you don't have to do that. All I'm saying is I just want to make sure that...
Here it is.
You know, I just wanted to say it publicly for your benefit, the Planning Commission, or certainly the other
right.
Council members, that was all done before council.
It was. That was our concept plan. Yeah. We will actually come to the Planning Commission for actual site plan approval.
And all I'm saying is that we're going through that transition, as you were aware, where they are working on architectural standards. And
right.
I think that is something that we're encouraging them to do that. And that kind of look is, you know, it doesn't have to be exactly that. The Planning Commission's going to certain, you know, it has their discretion. But all I'm saying is we're not looking for anything basic anymore.
Right. And we believe that this fits those architectural standards.
Have they said anything about the one in Easton? That's a beautiful row of firms they built there.
It's the same type of situation.
Just like
very similar.
Like the one they're building Bethany Beach.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that I know, but this is the these are the real the lack of a better word, the jazzed up model.
Yeah, right.
I'm still asking questions on this.
Yes, sir.
Part that's not circled in red.
Right. The part that's not circled in red, that is yellow at the top. That's our property. And it would be added to the two red bordered areas as that growth area. So,
but isn't it a street going through there?
But Councilman Brittingham, when you annexed out to Stephen Decatur, you actually annexed the roadbed of Route 50.
Right.
I checked with Woody Bunning. So our requirement that we're contiguous to the town is complied with because we abut the north side of Route 50. So we literally are adjacent to and abut the town city limits. Even though we're divided by a road, we are right square on your boundary line.
But this has nothing to do with the going form.
But that's exactly what's going.
Right.
Okay. It might be easier to look.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah, the third is really a blow up of what you see on part two, because I wanted you all to be comfortable with the area that you were putting in the growth area, and that's on exhibit 3.
Soon we'll build the new RVs, then generally carry out the old RVs, then build the new farms. I'm just assuming, because that way you have a revenue source and all that.
Oh, yes.
Now, what about water and sewer? Are we going to be expanding out there?
What I have already talked with Jane Kreider, and we will reach an agreement with the town where we will extend the water and sewer under Route 50 at our expense. There is a water and sewer obviously available right there to the schools, so we will get it to our property at our expense. We will then ask you, of course, to allocate the necessary EDUs that we have so that we can develop
That's
the property.
That's good then. So these drain fields are going to go away then?
Yes, ma'am.
That's good.
And there again, that's another advantage of having the schools already served.
That's right.
The infrastructure's there. I think that was a very wise decision by the developer.
Well, we recognize that that's our obligation because, as Councilman Brittingham said, we're on the north side of Route 50, so we need to get it there.
Okay. Mayor?
Yes.
Move to approve then.
Okay, yes, yes. Okay, they have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve Resolution 2014-06, which would basically bring in the growth area one for the future rural farms and the new Arby's, to keep it simple for the overall thing, immediately across US 50 from Stephen Decatur High School into the town of Berlin, and that's what this motion is about. So it is, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Thank you very much. Welcome. And we'll move forward with the annexation agreement.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Number four is allocation of $5,000 to the Worcester County Economic Development for phase two of the excursion train study. Are you going to make that presentation or?
I'll handle it.
Okay, that's fine.
Basically, this is a follow-up to a meeting that we attended at the Worcester County Commissioners meeting, I think, this last month. They're moving forward with a phase two study of the tourist train. And the mayor expressed interest in having the town contribute to assist in the defraying of the cost of that proposal, that proposed study. And so we're asking for an allocation of $5,000. This money would come out of the economic development budget, which is tight, and I can't say we've gone there a few times this year in an unplanned fashion. But if we need additional funding to offset that budget, we will come back to you later on this year. But for right now, it looks like the $5,000 can come out.
And this was just saying that because those meetings, the commissioners' meetings, they're very informative, and that's when the Bill Badger basically is front and center explaining the overall situation. And when he made the original proposal back in the fall, I'll say, I'm not sure if it was November or October, he explained that phase one was positive, then phase two would be necessary, automatically necessary. And at that time, we indicated that we would support this concept and that we approve the allocations separately. Because, at that point, we didn't need to make a commitment if phase one hadn't panned out. But the really two good pieces of news here is that the phase one showed that the market, and they were very conservative in their estimates, but the market that they need to support an excursion train based in Berlin is 50% greater than what they need. So it's starting to get a lot of interest. It's not marginal, it's not just barely making. And the other thing is that, and this is something else phase two will, I think, help to develop. I hear you. People talking about, it's going to go from here to Snow Hill. No, that's one option. It's not even in consideration. It's too long. An excursion train is supposed to be short, sweet, enjoyable, and it's not supposed to be like a journey. It's supposed to be a nice experience. So I don't know which option that this will show may be most practical, but what is being possibly considered is Snow Hill going from maybe Snow Hill to Newark, where the Quapango railroad station is, which is a train museum. That would be one separate entity to itself. Then Berlin would be from Berlin northward, either maybe to Deer Park, where that golf course used to be, or to Shaw, but that's the confines and the limits there. And of course, the great thing is the exposure to 113 and the 50. It's like incredible placement, I guess is the word. And it was interesting because at the Saturday's strategic planning meeting, none of us had thought of it before, but after the first one, we asked the facilitator, Christine Becker, to just ask the simple question, how many people hereby raise their hands are in favor? And so fast, but I'd say out of the 35 people that were there, somewhere around 65%, roughly two-thirds, were very enthusiastic, and others had never even heard about it. So I think that, you know, this is, it's, you know, obviously it's a discretionary thing, but I think this has tremendous potential. And we're talking realistically, if everything falls in place, somewhere in the area probably of 2 to 3 years before we see, you know, wheels on the track, so to speak. And I just want to give you that update, because that's everything that's happened since the last time we talked about it.
Well, now Mayor, just got more. Are you going to go ahead?
Yes, I'd like to move to approve this $5,000 request.
We have a motion by Councilmember Correll to approve the $5,000 allocation to Mercer County Economic Development for phase two of the tourist excursion train study. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Bill will certainly be very pleased. Next, number five on the agenda is a motion to approve the $5,000 grant. This is actually a grant for services to the Massachusetts Coastal Trust for Grove Early Greens Assistance for the Maryland Sustainable Maryland Program. So, gentlemen, if you introduce yourselves and tell us what will be happening and how all this came about.
I'm Steve Farr, Development Director for ST Coastal Trust, and was primary manager of the Gerberlin Green Partnership. See, you caught me now. Which was a partnership of local environmental organizations and the town of Berlin. The Gerberlin Green predated the Sustainable Maryland Initiative, but we were a major player in helping Berlin to become the first municipality that was certified in the state of Maryland as a sustainable Maryland community. And this initiative is principally to become recertified. The program is looking after a couple of years to have existing communities that have been certified to be recertified, and hopefully to encourage other new communities to become certified.
And do you have any idea how often the recertification process is expected to happen?
I think it's been 2 or 3 years, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think they had necessarily anticipated that. I think it's probably going to be every 3 years would make sense to
okay.
me.
Okay, yeah, because that's the thing. I think it's wonderful, but it's kind of like you have to have time to get things done.
The what?
Let's say we like to be progressive, but we also like to live while we're
Exactly.
The one thing that I'll add, Mike Hunting Cake with the Sustainable Maryland Program, he mentioned on the phone that 3 years ago when this whole process was being put together, that the thought process amongst the leaders there were to have three levels of sustainability certification. That's not going to happen this year. It's again, you're either going to be certified or you're not going to be certified. And again, to echo what Steve says, he's anticipating about a 3 year window for all this to happen.
So what is it, am I making a plausible assumption looking 10 or 15 years down the road, that's what they have evolved to, and possibly the length of your recertification may have something to do with your level?
I think it would be that, and also probably it's based on a point system. The point system, there are points assigned to what they call actions, and the actions are in categories of sustainability, including environment, energy, economic development, health and wellness. So what the each action that you're able to document, and they have a whole series of criteria and descriptions, the challenge for the community is to develop, implement, and document actions that the community has taken or is in the process of taking that meet the criteria established by this body. And I think that the recertification process, and we're still doing research to determine exactly what the recertification, how it's different from the original certification, but it's our initial understanding that if a project that was part of the town's original certification has been ongoing, and you can demonstrate that, that may pre-qualify you for those points. So I think what this process is going to be is both a function of documenting ongoing projects as well as documenting new projects, and to some extent we'll probably have to develop and implement some brand new projects. And we've done some very initial research, and it looks very good for the town in terms of, you know, we've already looked at projects and initially points, and we should be in a good position to be able to meet the requirements by the June 30th deadline.
Okay, and that's the other question. Do you feel confident that it's a gentleman's, you know, no offense, that's the old phrase, gentleman's agreement, that this, your policy and delivery of what we need, the time for their consideration?
Yes. I can't promise what their reaction will be, but I think an important part of the process the first time, and it will be again this time, is you don't just pull stuff together and throw it at them. You work with them to make sure that your interpretation of what they want is consistent with their interpretation of what they want. So you don't have a surprise come June 30th that you're really just satisfying their documentation requirements, and they will then bestow recertification. I'm confident that the town will be able to do that.
And there's one more, I feel, a major component this time versus 3 years ago, another footprint this time versus 3 years ago, a challenge. Stormwater is on the table.
Yes.
Okay, so we've come a long ways in 3 years for that.
I have a question. Now, this is the program that was instituted 3 years ago that we were the first town
Correct.
In the state of Maryland to be sustainable.
Correct.
What we were doing was already in their guidelines with their new program, correct?
Yes.
Well, then I'd like to make a motion then to approve the $5,000 grant to Cassatee Coastal Trust for the Berlin Green Assistance. Sustainable Maryland program.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the $5,000 grant for the preparation of the application for recertification of the Sustainable Maryland program. All multi-syllable words. So, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Next is number six on the agenda, motion to approve a contract with the Trice Group for the appraisal of the Tyson property.
I'll take that.
Laura, the town administrator, walk us through this.
Towards the end of last calendar year, the Mayor and Council entered into a contract for sale agreement with Berlin Property Flooring for the potential purchase of the Tyson property. There were several contingencies within that agreement, one of which was appraisal of the property. The town of Berlin issued requests for quotations to four appraising firms and received three responses. Those three responses were reviewed and ranked. Pursuant to the contract, we contacted Berlin Properties North to reach an understanding that the contract requires us to jointly select an appraising firm and split the cost. So we recommended the Trice Group. Mr. Trice is in the audience. We recommended the Trice Group to Berlin Properties North, and they agreed. And so you have before you a contract for an appraisal of that property for $3,400. The Trice Group estimates it will take about a month to complete the appraisal. So assuming that you approve the contract tonight, you should have an appraisal pretty much by the 10th of March.
10th of March.
To the
mark. Does anyone have any questions?
I don't know if Mr. Trice wants to address the council.
I really don't have anything to say to the council. I'm certainly here for questions if you have any, but for us, you know, I think our contract is pretty straightforward and speaks for itself.
Well, the reputation as a firm is certainly well known.
Thank you.
Make a motion to approve that contract.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the contract for $3,400 with the Trice Group for an appraisal of the Tyson property that you are considering purchase. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you so much, and thank you for your attendance tonight.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to that. I guess all parties are. So best of luck. Next, number seven is on the agenda is membership in the American Municipal Power, which appears from time to time, I refer to as AMP, American Municipal Power Group. And Laura, you're going to.
Yeah, I'll handle that.
Okay.
So tonight, the staff is recommending that the council adopt a motion authorizing membership in American Municipal Power Incorporated, otherwise known as AMP, and adopt a resolution authorizing the execution of Berlin 2015 power supply schedule with AMP. Essentially, what staff is proposing is that the town join AMP, which is a nonprofit association of 129 municipal power providers across the country, join them to receive several membership benefits, including training, a lobbyist, a general safety and OSHA compliance programs, environmental services, mutual aid, energy efficiency programs, and power supply through larger volume purchases. There is a membership fee associated with AMP. It's based on a percentage of the megawatt hours the town purchases, and we estimate that annual cost to total $10,000. There are also two other fees associated with this arrangement, one for purchasing power and another for dispatching, and both of those fees have been included in the town's current purchase power agreement, so they're not essentially new fees. The one new fee would be the membership fee for a series of benefits that I outlined verbally just a second ago, as well as in my staff report. The membership agreement that you have before you serves, I'm sorry, the master services agreement serves as the membership agreement, and the staff report outlines the terms and conditions of that master services agreement on page 3 and 4. Under the master services agreement is a power supply schedule. The power supply schedule is essentially the power contract, and there's a typo in the staff report on page 4. It cites the term incorrectly. The correct term of the power schedule is June 1, 2015 through December 31, 2017. It's an 18-month contract for power services. The power supply schedule also provides authorization and designation of the town administrator as the individual who will be representing the town in power purchases and power confirmations. As long as the power supply price does not exceed $66 a megawatt hour. And included some additional information in the staff report regarding the power purchase strategy, which I'd be happy to discuss with the council if they have any questions. It's all outlined on page 5.
This has been something, by the way, that has been under consideration for about a year.
About a year.
So it may be new to some years. But basically, what precipitated this, or probably, I guess, encouraged town board to look into this option was last year's severe, and long, cold winter, which had a dramatic impact on energy prices throughout the country, and is still having ramifications that continue. And obviously, we could have continued with purchasing as we had approximately every 2 years, 2.5 years, because usually either in the spring or the fall, historically, in the energy business, 5 years is a long, long time these days, but in recent history, one of those two seasons usually had a low point in the market price for energy, and that's when we would jump in and secure a contract. What's happening is that because of that unusual winter, which I think they call the polar vortex, that not only will price, when prices resettle, they probably might resettle higher. So we had to look for an alternative way, so that the objective here, and we think it's a very viable one, is to make sure that we can maintain the price ranges where we've been dealing with in the last 3 or 4 years,
yeah.
Something like that.
3 years, right,
yeah,
sure.
And we will not, even if we have another very, very cold winter, it will not, we will not be at the economy. I just can't think of quite the right word, but we will not be the, at the
Mercy.
Thank you.
The mercy
of the Mother Nature, in terms of something that's as important as individuals and businesses, monthly electric power bills. And another thing that I just add is that, as Laura has been doing a lot of research on this, working very closely with Tim Lawrence and also with Booth Associates, which is our consultants for electric power, regardless of its distribution, building, or generation, is that this is a membership of a total of 130 municipal power providers throughout the nation. It's based in Ohio, right?
Right.
So what happens is, instead of having to fight these fights on our own, and maybe manage try to manage the instability of the market on our own, which quite frankly I think we've handled not badly at all compared to others. This will be give us a much stronger position, because when they go out and on the market, they're representing 130 municipal electric utilities, and we won't be just on our own. And so I just want to give that little bit of background, because obviously this has been an ongoing process, and it's worked, done a lot of work, particularly on Laura Allen's taking the lead on this, but she's been working very closely with Booth and Associates, Tim Lawrence, and also our utility attorney, Jill Barton. And so this didn't happen overnight. Sorry if I just thought I'd give that a background.
I appreciate it.
For some people, might see money's coming out of it.
But it's not. So there's several reasons for the recommendation. Our market price reviews, which we've done, as the mayor said, for quite a while, we've done it for about a year. Our market price reviews have consistently indicated AMP provides the best price. AMP membership will enable the town to access state-of-the-art training. Tim is particularly excited about that component. The energy market is highly regulated and becoming more so. AMP membership gets the town access to lobbyists that supports the interest of 130 municipal electric utilities. And there is a component of this arrangement with AMP where we will be buying some power on the market. And while there is some risk associated with that, the amount of risk is small in terms of the total portfolio. And the reward for taking this risk is lower price. We've also spoken to several cities who are AMP members. They're all extremely happy with their services. And an employee from Front Royal, Virginia, said it was the best thing that they ever did. The council has a couple of options that we have also included in the staff report. One is to take no action, and can take no action on the contract. The current contract we have with NextEra will expire at the end of May, and then we'd be ending up generating or purchasing power on the market all of the time without having some kind of contract in place. Another option would be for you to tell us to go out to bid for a full requirements contract. And as the mayor pointed out, given the market consolidation, there's limited interest in power supply firms in contracting directly with the town. One of the reasons why I'm recommending that we partner with a large number of municipal power providers is because market consolidation is making it hard for us to purchase. So the recommendation is to authorize the membership in AMP, as well as the execution of the power supply schedule as described in the staff report and in the attachments that we provided to you.
Does any member of the council have any questions for Laura regarding this proposal to join AMP and to authorize the Berlin to schedule a 2015 power supply with American Municipal Power?
I would like to say to Laura and the staff that your work in this endeavor is appreciated. And I know your motivation for doing all of this work is to lessen the impact of the energy increase on our citizens. And that is a very, very good thing. With that in mind, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the membership in AMP.
We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the Berlin's membership into the AMP with the and the power supply schedule provided. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion passes 4-0.
So we could do that, and now you need to make, someone needs to make a motion to approve resolution 2015-01.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Boyes to approve resolution 2015.
I would like to point out that by joining AMP, we're the first municipal power provider in the state of Maryland to join.
Fantastic.
So we're setting the bar again.
Leading again. All right, next is our departmental reports. First, we're going to start off with Electric Utilities Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few topics to report on. In the past 2 weeks, we had to do what's called a disconnect reconnect for a customer on Bryan Avenue that installed a full capability backup generator. They have some medical issues, and they wanted to make sure that they had power at all times for their medical needs. So they worked with the company to install a backup generator on their residence. Also, we've been installing what's called squirrel guards, basically, on all our overhead switches, and basically that's a device that kind of protects a squirrel from getting into our switches, knocking the power out, and also, you know, may harm him also. Also, we worked with Verizon over at Nelson and Franklin Avenue by the water tower over there to replace a pole that it had rotten, so we worked together with them. And then the big thing that I've been working on is with installing the new phone system along with Comcast. We've converted the wastewater treatment plant, the electric department, the planning and zoning building, also the visitors welcome center. Those have been changed over, and right now we're kind of in a waiting period just to make sure there's no issues with those buildings. We also did the power plant and public works. We want to make sure there's no issues and make sure everything's working properly before we tackle the town hall. That's the next one, and then the last one will be the police department. Dealing with the 911 lines and that type of thing, we want to make sure everything is...
It makes sense. It's good. Not that any are more important than others, but at least it gets a good test. And of course, the police department communications is probably... most critical,
yes.
Even though there'll be those that say the electric is critical. you guys can hammer that out.
Yep.
Don't give me those holes also.
Good. No, that's great. That's great. Great.
Thank you.
Because I know that this has been something that we've long anticipated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening, everyone. This opportunity, I'll be able to give an update on the vandalism that actually happened a couple weeks ago. We're estimating the damage was roughly, or actually over $11,000 in damage. Most of our victims, fortunately, have actually removed everything from their vehicles, and all of the buildings have actually been covered, or actually have removed the spray paint from their buildings also. So we're really pleased that the business owners really got on top of that really quick. Town employees actually removed all the trash cans that were vandalized, and they had to change out the meter heads. So again, you know, getting rid of the damage as quick as possible is a positive thing for us. We also would like to go ahead and thank all the partners that have let us use all of the video feeds from WMDT, all the business owners, to go ahead and work on this case. We expect to go ahead and have some persons charged in the next couple of days. With that, we'll actually have a more detailed press release to go ahead and advise everyone of the outcome of the investigations. The staff themselves put over hundreds of hours, came in on overtime to go ahead and work this case all the way to the end. So we're really proud of the work that they put in. And
the community itself giving us all the tips. All the way through the whole process, we've continued to get phone calls and have contact with the community, which, again, makes us feel really proud to know that our eyes and ears are working for us.
Great.
So thank you.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere. That's very good news. The reaction, bad things happen, but it's how you react to them that matters.
That is correct.
Thank you so much for that report.
But Mayor, I have to say something. I'm just very amazed this day and age with the way everything is camered up, how people think that they can just walk down the street and do things like that.
And
it just amazes me.
And I would tell everyone else, don't just think that the cameras are out there. Again, we need you to go ahead and look out your windows. Mm-hmm. Again, when you get in and out of your vehicles, go ahead and pay attention to your surroundings. And if you do see anything suspicious, go ahead and give us a call right then and there. After the accident, we actually have had probably three people that actually have noticed some things going on and didn't really ever have the feeling that it was necessary to call or, you know, had that heightened awareness of what was going on.
Great. Well, hopefully it'll be a learning moment for everybody. Next is Planning Director Dave Inghart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't have anything new to add this evening.
Okay. All right. Very good. Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Leewood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a couple quick things. The administrative assistant position has an offer has been extended and accepted. Scheduled start date is February 23rd. It's a Monday. We have one employee who was out on maternity leave and is now back in a full-time status from the stormwater department. And it's been an ongoing thrill to meet with insurance vendors, health insurance vendors. It's very fascinating. And with the Affordable Care Act and the provisions that unfold in 2015 and going into 2016, it's I will tell you, in the many years I've been involved doing what I'm doing, this has been hands down the most fascinating year. Most confusing year.
Confusing. A lot of new variables, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just very pleased, and I think we all speak for all of us that we're very pleased. We have someone with experience dealing with this rather than learning on the job while trying to learn with the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I will say, and I wish you were here this evening, but there are two senior vice presidents. One is with Atlantic Smith Carpenter Dealey. He is Chris Carroll, and you've all met Chris. He has been as unbiased as he can be and as forthright as he can be. But I'm using a sounding board with another broker, a gentleman that I've really taken a liking to. And the good news is the communication, the subject matter has been consistent. So, and that's what I'm trying to weigh out, because there's so many variables with this. I can only imagine with the stuff that Tim and Laura were doing with Ann, when you don't understand some of the acronyms and some of the variables, I mean, you can get sucked in. It's like a good fishing trip.
You feel like you've gotten good advice from two well.
I believe so.
Good. Excellent. Well, wish you well in your fascinating experience here.
Thank you.
Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to thank everyone who came out for our event for Black History Month at the Visitor Center on Saturday. I wasn't able to attend. I had a previous engagement, but I heard that it was, Lisa was there, that it was crowded, standing room only. We had chairs set up. And I am also working with the Germantown School to promote Black History Month, their events also this month. And this Friday is Indulge in Berlin, the second Friday art stroll. Also tastings and live music. Everyone reports to the visitor center, they pick up a map, and then they go to the various shops around town, and they get their map initialed, and then they bring it back to the visitor center to be entered in a drawing for a raffle basket worth over $500. That's this Friday. And I'm also working diligently on BerlinMainStreet.com, and I also have a question. If anyone has any photos that they'd like to send to me, each page will have its own photo slideshow. So any photos, I'm doing some research and trying to find some photos and some old Michael files and looking for some really hot photos. And the high heel race will also be joined with the health fair. Been working with the Atlanta General Hospital on the upcoming health fair. So what we've decided to do is merge the two together because they're both health related, and working with the ladies over at the nurse staff over at the hospital on that. So
and you need to challenge, you know, that. I mean, the mayor and I run in the high heel race, you know. We need to challenge the rest of the council.
Okay. I have a meeting with them later this week to get some more details.
It's a hard event.
But I know that the mayor was really wanted to have the health fair, so it's on the books now.
Good. Dean's got so much confidence in me, because I do plan to participate again, but he said, thank goodness now that with the health fair, the hospital will be there in case you break.
Yeah. That's good. I like
it. I appreciate your confidence. And I do have a question for you, Bonnie. What is the date of the health fair?
It's June 5th.
Okay, thank you.
And that's the hours, yes. It's going to be, the health fair will run from 3 to 7.
3 p.m. to 7. Mm-hmm. And that is a Saturday at some point.
No, it's Friday evening.
Friday, okay.
It's Friday evening, and the majority of the health fair will run inside and in the parking lot of the visitor center because they do need some privacy room, so okay. I encourage them to use the visitor center. And then instead of closing a road, it'll be right in that parking lot where the visitor center
is. So there will be...
And it won't interfere with the track.
Right. June 5th?
That's what she said, June 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's not going to be jazz and blues this year, too?
Okay, good. So that's great news.
Jazz and blues is the 6th.
Okay.
Okay, and then, because that was one of the things we said, talking with AGH and all this, we've got to figure out a way to not only make this informative but fun.
Exactly.
It's not fun, it's not for what.
So,
good. That's one.
Hopefully, we accomplished all of that.
Good. Thank you. And then, like I said, hopefully, something we can keep
going. That's going to be a full weekend, too, then. That's good.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Great. That's what we did. Thank you so much for your reports. And next is Town Administrator Laura Allen.
Well, we've had two very successful strategic planning meetings over the last couple of weeks. We had about 55 people attend the first one. I'd say about 40 attend the second one. I just wanted to let everybody know that we've got two more coming. One is Thursday at 6 p.m. Buckingham Elementary. And Worcester Youth and Families providing free babysitting services so you can drop your kids off as you head over to the meeting and talk about Berlin's future. The last meeting we're going to have is on February 21st. It's a Saturday at the Multipurpose Building off of Flower Street, and that's going to start at 9:30. Same thing. Parents can drop their children off half an hour before the meeting starts and come on over. And I think the meetings are going pretty well. Most folks have been very engaged. We've got some really good ideas. It's been exciting. So I'll go ahead and go through the purchase orders. We don't have too many tonight. See, purchase order number 1808 in the amount of $2,337.45 to the Maryland State Retirement for administrative cost fees. Purchase order number 1788 in the amount of $1,967.75 to Hatch Company for emergency DO, and that's a dissolved oxygen probe upgrade for the treatment process. And purchase order number 1875 in the amount of $2,419.20 to Kurtz Computers for additional cabling needed in several locations. This is to assist with the installation of the new phone system. Purchase order number 1881 in the amount of $4,500. Trice Group? Oh, it's just for the, wrong contract, for the appraisals for the purchase of the easements. It's my mistake. So we've got the two things with Trice. One was the appraisal for the Tyson property. This is for easements for the Hudson Branch project. And then purchase order number 1896 in the amount of $5,380 to Green Hill Groundwork Emergency Repair Work to drain the culvert on Jubilee Street. And I had sent an email about that earlier today. That concludes my report.
Does anyone have any questions for Laura regarding any of the purchase orders?
After the easements, are there any other easements needed to start that process
No, we're working with the county to get some easement documentation together for the easement on Flower Street. But these are for a specific private property. This is a private property that we're looking for with some sort of a stormwater improvement on. And then once we get that finalized, Darrell can go ahead and put the finishing touches on the design, and we can go ahead and take it out to bid.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve all five purchase orders.
We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve five purchase orders as presented by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Thank you. I don't have any comments. Does anyone ask me for it?
Yes, I do. I spoke with the chief earlier this week, and I'm hoping the papers are listening. We've had some issues with some folks running stop signs, and I've had no less than seven people contact me, three of which in my office during working hours. You did say that would happen, Mayor. It seems as if they've got a lot of complaints about folks running stop signs here in the area. I was almost hit the other morning heading out to the gym first thing. I explained to them that obviously we can't have a police officer at every street corner and to contact the police, but I contacted the chief and I told the chief what I wanted to talk about, and he said that he would kind of chime in and just kind of get this on the record so that folks know what to do when they see such things happening, because their biggest fear is, and a lot of these folks are grandparents, is a child getting hit, and obviously nobody wants to see that happen, but chief, if you could kind of bring that up to Steve for us, that'd be great.
One thing we know is that drivers themselves are generally other people who live inside of the communities. So, again, getting descriptions of the vehicles and reporting to us as soon as possible. Even if we don't witness an infraction directly, we still have an opportunity to get and make contact with them, their parents, or other loved ones in their family. And a lot of times that's enough to go ahead and get the point to them that different actions need to be taken. And, again, we can't go ahead and work on issues if we don't know about them. So the first thing is please give us a call, and any information you can provide to us would be greatly greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. It's one of the unfortunate consequences of more people in town is that we've got more traffic and more pedestrians.
Well, and so the one guy stopped and he wanted to challenge me. He got out of the car, I got out of the car, he saw me, he got in the car. And
the other option,
I thought he wanted to take me to breakfast.
Take time to breakfast with him. You won't have many people give you a hard time. Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
Councilmember Hall.
I'm fine. I have one thing. We've received copies of a letter from Worcester County Development Center.
Yes.
Asking for letters of support for a regulation that's getting ready to change that will impact their operation and services provided to their clients. As a council, could we agree to send a letter of
support? You already did.
Yes.
He did.
He
did.
Maybe he didn't hear anything.
No. Yeah.
The letter's gone. No, that's good.
And my email has changed.
But I think I gave it to the right email. That's right. But you know what? You get a hard copy. Because, I wasn't good at that. Basically, in a nutshell, the federal government wants to change up the game, like Medicaid.
They want to change how services are provided at Worcester County Developmental Center and services to their customers. They're trying to make the regulations so that everybody that attends that facility will have to fit into one track, let's say, one track of services. And the Developmental Center and I and us think that folks should have as many options as possible.
Right. Yeah. That's an important part of this community. It serves a lot of people, and it's important that continues. It's not broken. We don't need to fix it.
Nope.
Whatever, I'll be happy to email the letter, which is an email form, to the press, and you can do whatever you want or whatever. But it basically, I think that ended up in saying, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. We provide $7,500 grant this past year, our largest grant ever to Worcester County Developmental Center, because they do fill such a critical and strategic need for people with disabilities and gives them an environment where they can work, be productive, and grow, as, you know, grow to gain confidence and skills. And here comes Medicaid wants to take no, we want them to go out and volunteer and be out in the community. And, you know, I wish I could just take that
and
person
there, and I remember the thing that impressed me the most was the day that we went for the groundbreaking, because, you know, they had that horrible fire that, thank God, no one got hurt. But I talked and sat next to this woman who had a sister who was developmentally challenged, and she was able to donate a very, very large amount of money to that facility to build it. But her point was, I mean, this woman was probably in her 80s at this point, was that, you know, her and her mother had to take care of her sister her whole life because they never had any of these kinds of resources. And that's why it's so important that we continue to provide to the community in that nice facility. We don't want to go backwards.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing the attention. Do we have any comments? I don't think there's any public here.
We ran them out.
We ran them out. Do we have any questions or comments from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you very much for your attendance and patience.